Got your sound up? Welcome. Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school. Again, we come to be schooled in the things of God, that God might teach us. God is always right. We might also say, truthfully, God makes no mistakes. I want to point out some terms, some words from Psalm 119 that represent God's word. In Psalm 119, the first 8 verses, now I'm not going to read every single word, but point again to these words that represent God's word. Blessed the undefiled in the way. Blessed the undefiled in God's word, who walk in the law of the Lord. They walk in the word of the Lord, who keep his testimonies, who keep his word. They walk in his ways, plural. They keep his words. They strive to keep his precepts diligently, his word, to keep his statutes, his word. In verse 6, when I look into all your commandments, your word. Verse 7, when I learn your righteous judgments, your word, your righteous word. I will keep your statutes, once again, your word. In addition, all these words are somewhat, and I think I gave you that flavor, they are somewhat interchangeable. And that will be reflected to a degree in this message. Now I want us to look further at a few verses from Psalm 119. Please follow a particular line of thought with me found in Psalm 119. As led by the Spirit of God, the psalmist records as follows. Verse 75 of Psalm 119. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Though in the depths of affliction, which are grievous, the psalmist attests here to the truth that the judgment of God is not wrong, but right, even to the degree that his right judgment, causing you grief, illustrates God's faithfulness to you. In addition, the psalmist recorded the right reason for God to exercise his right judgment in verse 67 of Psalm 119. The psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now, after having been afflicted, I keep your word. I keep your ways, your law, your testimonies, your precepts, your statutes, your judgments. See how the word and those words can be used interchangeably. If we are Christians, if we're truly Christians, after a certain amount of time in our Christian lives, we experience what the psalmist says in those verses. When we stray from the paths of righteousness, God is faithful to afflict us to whatever degree He deems necessary to restore us. And He's right to do that. Psalm 23:3, as we looked to last week, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake, for the purpose of His great name. With God's name at stake, with who He is at stake, so that we do not profane His holy name, He restores us. And that may take afflicting us so that we keep His word. In so doing, God is leading us in the paths of righteousness. In confirmation that God is never wrong, even when dealing with His people using a firm hand of affliction, the psalmist says this in verse 128 of Psalm 119. I'm removing the inserted words. Therefore, all precepts, all I esteem as right. God is always right. Where are you and I today? Do we esteem all God's precepts, all God's word as right, no matter what our circumstances? Whatever God does is right. And in reference to His precepts that we just looked at, all is right. So I asked myself this question, and I looked into it. Just what do His precepts involve? Listen to me. Listen closely. His precepts are what He has appointed to be, the way things ought to be. And these are His precepts are mandates. They're not suggestions. The precepts that God has mandated are right and are what the paths of righteousness are made of. I need to repeat that for me and for you. The precepts that God has mandated are right. The way things ought to be according to God are right and are what the paths of righteousness are made of. And at the heart of those precepts are the two great commandments. Let's go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 12. And we are going to be looking at those two great commandments. Mark 12, verses 29 through 31. Jesus, in answer to one of the scribes, says this: the first of all the commandments, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. and the second like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And again, wonders from the Word of God. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 3:10. And Christians are commanded to love God and others. And another wonder of wonders. God mandates us, commands us to love Him and others, and God equips us as His people to obey those precepts. Ezekiel 36:27, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, to walk in my word, and you will keep my judgments. You will keep my word and do them. The Spirit of God indwelling us. Friends, without that truth, you would have no power to respond rightly to the affliction God lays upon you when you go astray. We would be bitter, we would be hateful, and we'd fall away quickly. I know I would. But because of the indwelling Holy Spirit and His love poured out into our hearts, we respond to affliction by being led in the paths of righteousness. We observe, we regard, we keep His word. When you think of keeping God's word and look into what that means, it means you must observe His word and regard His word. And then you'll keep His word. Thanks be to God. He always does right. And His doing right in afflicting you and me causes us to do right in response to that affliction. We've just seen that God's judgments are right. His precepts, which have to do with His commandments, are the stuff, the matter and activity of the paths of righteousness. Therefore, they must be right. Showing you some more verses having to do with the fact that God is right. Tying all those words up into this very first verse. The word of the Lord is right. Psalm 33:4. The ways of the Lord are right. Hosea 14:9. Deuteronomy 32:3-5. From the Song of Moses, we get this. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. That's what we do in pulpits like this. We proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work, perfect. There is no wrong in it, folks. For all His ways, justice. A God of truth and without iniquity. Nothing wrong in it. Just and right is He. Nonetheless, without the intervention of God upon our human souls, by way of the new birth, all human beings do that which is right in their own eyes. Oh, we must guard against that if we're Christians. And they reject, as we did, the foregoing truth that God and God alone is always right and never, ever wrong. Those who are against the Lord, as you and I were one day, because they don't believe His way is the right way, are spoken of in the Proverbs repeatedly. Proverb 14, verse 12, Proverbs 16, verse 25, are identical with these words. There is a way right to a human being, but its end, E-N-D, its end, the way of death. As Proverb 21:2 says as well, every way of a human being is right in his own eyes. But ultimately, we know the right way, the only way to a life of eternal peace is Jesus Christ. He is the right way, the Word of God, come in human flesh. He is the right way spoken of in Psalm 107 that leads us to heavenly Jerusalem and delivers us from the desolate way spoken of in Psalm 107, where we wander to our destruction. Those who wander in the desolate way are warned clearly in Proverbs 21:30. I'm going to spend a little time here. Please listen. If you reject the truth, if you have any question about the truth, that God is always right. Remember, you who wander in a desolate way, as all of us Christians did, remember, you think God is wrong and you are right. Psalm 21:30 begins with "there is." Those words are actually inserted. So it just literally says, "No wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord." Wisdom, understanding, counsel, all having to do with people who think they are right and God is wrong. What does God say? Who are against the Lord and who exercise these things, wisdom, understanding, and counsel, to oppose Him. We did that. How can God say there is no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against Him? The word "no" in the Hebrew means to be nothing. Or to not exist, a non-entity. Some then, of course, are going to say, where is there scripture to support that proverb? Number one, there's no wisdom against the Lord. In verse 19, we looked at this closely for several weeks. Verse 19, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in chapter 3, we see this in speaking of the Lord. He says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. You see how there's no wisdom? God destroys the devices of human beings that are against the Lord. One of those devices, their so-called wisdom, which is simply nonsense when exercised against God, who is always right and makes no mistakes. And hearers, make no mistake. You hearers, make no mistake. If you are hearing this message, the wisdom of this world, which is against God, is nonsense. It's nothing. It's a non-entity against God. Next, there is no understanding against the Lord. May I show you some scripture in dealing with that? Again, right in the very same verse that we started with when looking at the wisdom. And actually that 1 Corinthians 1:19 draws from Isaiah 29:14. God says, I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Would you use your understanding outside of Christ against the Lord? Friends, it's nothing to God. He's brought it to nothing. We see the nothingness, if I can coin a word. We see the nothingness of the understanding of those who are against God in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. I want us to turn there. Ephesians 4, verses 17 through 19. Let's read that together. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, uselessness, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Indeed, God has estranged such people from knowing Him, from having fellowship with Him, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, they don't care about what God thinks or about being right with God. They've given themselves over to licentiousness, outrageous behavior, to work all uncleanness with greediness, nothing but filthy thinking, filthy motives. Lastly, concerning this proverb, let's look at those who take counsel. They band together and take counsel against God. I'm going to read from the Psalms in a selected manner. Please don't turn there right now. It's just going to confuse things because, again, I'm skipping around a bit. It's all going to work out in the proper timing of God here, so please just listen. In Psalm 2, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain, a useless thing? People are plotting something that's just useless. The kings of the earth set themselves. Think about the rulers in the world today. My goodness. Excuse me. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens, that's God, shall laugh. What causes God to laugh when people take counsel against Him? Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing, a non-entity. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. It's useless, folks, for these people to try to use these devices against God, who is always right. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel against the Lord. These things are vain, useless, of no effect against God. To the degree that they are nothing when it comes to attempting to prove God wrong. In closing, Christians, take courage and strength from the following things that I'd like to say before I close. Answer this question presented in Genesis 18:25. Let's you and I answer this question right now. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Will God not do right? If you are a Christian today, be assured and rest in the truth that God is doing right in your life. No matter how bad you and I think things are, God is doing right for you and for me. I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs for me. About 30 years ago, I remember something that occurred. A pastor friend of mine had a young mother who lost a small child, and she came to him and said to him, "Where was God when my child died?" He answered by quoting the end of Psalm 9:4. Where was God when that child died? Sitting on His throne, judging right. Amen.